If you'll turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2, we do please ask you to pray for us. I am absolutely terrified and scared to death, nervous as I can be, but I believe we've got a message for the hour. And the important thing is that I want to do is mind God. I want to be moved when the Holy Ghost says move. And I have thoroughly enjoyed these last couple of nights or however long it's been. Thank God it's just been a joy. This is just reminds me of those old revivals through the years. Thank God. And I appreciate it. And brother, God's still doing it. Amen. He's still working. Stand with us, if you will, as I read in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I would like to speak to your hearts just a little bit tonight on this thought. How goes it, soldier? I read 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Paul has asked, as he writes to Timothy, he says a couple of things to him. First of all, thou therefore endure hardness, and he calls him a good soldier. Thank God, everybody that is here, when you got born into the family of God, when we got saved, you enlisted in the greatest army that has ever marched upon planet Earth. Thank God you joined, you became a member, thank God, of the only army that has already been declared victorious before the first shot was ever fired. You are having the privilege tonight to be a soldier in the army of God Almighty. I thank God for that. And our heart's desire, knowing that we are soldiers, is to be a good soldier. Thank God. I just want to serve God. I want to serve God until, as they sung that song, I'm not going to drop my anchor until I come. Thank God, the heaven shore. When we get to heaven shore, thank God, the battles will be over. But until that time, until that hour, my responsibility, thank God, is to be a good soldier. And so he says, endure hardness as a good soldier. And then, secondly, thank God, not only does he say that, but he also says for us not to get entangled with this world, to remember who we are, whose we are, and thank God why we're here and where we're going. Amen. But I was thinking about this morning, and you know, we just got through celebrating Memorial Day. Memorial Day, we celebrate every soldier that gave the ultimate sacrifice. We look back to those that died on the battlefield.
Yes.
And we honor them. Last weekend, we celebrated, if you want to call it celebrate, but we look back and we remembered Normandy.
Right.
In 1900, I believe it was 45, Normandy, when the United States and their allies had came in, thank God, landed on Omaha Beach, Normandy, and all those beaches, different names they had for them. And they had come to liberate France. And I was thinking about soldiers today. And, you know, through the years, there is something, thank God, about a soldier.
Yep.
A few years ago, my wife and I and our daughter and her family, we were going to Panama City. We stopped down in Columbus, Georgia. And everybody knows that's where Fort Benning is. And it is paratroopers school. It's at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Right, yeah.
And we stopped at this Hardee's or somewhere and got us a hamburger. And there were soldiers all over that place. And I got two little old grandchildren. One of them, he's Nicholas and she's Ella. And we came in there, and those soldiers, some of them had just graduated boot camp, some had just graduated from jump school, and I walked up to everyone I could get my hands on and shook their hand and thanked them. Thank God for serving our country and giving their time for the service of this nation. And I said, now Nicholas, I said, what we do? Every time we see a soldier, we stand at attention and we salute them. And I got old Nicholas, our buddy, he wore that arm out. Thank God for saluting them soldiers. I tell you what's true, but do you know what? I got to thinking about those soldiers that, you know, when they dress up in their dress greens, or they dress up in their dress blues, or they dress up in their dress whites, navy, or whatever brace they're with. And I was thinking about way back yonder many years ago when I went off to Fort Jackson. And I remember I just got into the introduction, whatever they call that place. I can't remember now. It's been so long ago. But I remember some of those fellas, and they had slash marks. You know, they had slash marks on their sleeves. And I thought, wonder what in the world that means. I thought every slash mark got them a raise. But what those slash marks represented was this, that they had been a soldier and been at it for a long time. And not only do they have those slash marks, and I believe every slash mark, if I can remember correctly, I don't remember if it was for 5 years or if it was 10 years, but every so often they got another slash mark on their sleeve. But then I looked at those dress greens, and I looked at those fellas, and some of them, they had all kind of ribbons. They had all kind of ribbons on their chest. Some of those ribbons were given because they had won medals. Some of those ribbons that they had represented campaigns. They had fought in different theaters. And whenever I looked at that, and I thought, my, thank God, here's some old soldiers. They've been in the heat of the battle. These fellas know what it is to get shot at. These fellas know what it is, my friend, to go out there, thank God, and face the enemy. And instead of running, they know what it is. And brother, I looked at those ribbons, and when you see them, you just want to stand up, thank God, and salute them, and tell them one more time, thank God, I appreciate your service. But those ribbons, not only do they look good on their chest, but they're there for a reason. And the reason that they're there, they didn't win them, they were awarded them because of bravery, because of being in the battle, because they went above and beyond the call of duty. And thank God, those men, you look at that and you say, boy, if I just had that many ribbons on my chest, if I could get them slash marks. But then you think about it for a moment, where did they get those at? Man, they had to go to war. They had to go and fight an enemy. They had to go, and my friend, that enemy was fighting back. That enemy was shooting back. That enemy wanted to kill them. And brother, they went out there and they braved that fire. And my friend, they were given and awarded those ribbons and those medals. And they've been in many battles. And I said, thank God, them old soldiers, they need to be honored. Thank God, every time you see an old soldier, you ought to come to attention. And thank God, you ought to say, I just want to honor you. Thank God for the service you've given. But I want to honor you because you have been in the battle. And thank God you saw it through. Dennis and I used to work with an old fella. His name was Mac Thompson. Max Thompson. You remember Max, Dennis? Old Max was a Medal of Honor recipient in World War II. When I first went into the mill, I saw him, but I didn't know who he was. Somebody said, that's Max Thompson. Said he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. I was around old Max a lot in those years, but I didn't realize what an honor it was to be able to work beside a man, my friend, that had brave machine gun fire, saved fellow soldiers, put his life at risk for the service of his men, his partners, his comrades. And what a privilege it was. But I began to learn more about it as time went on. And then when I'd see Max, I always wanted to go up and hug him. Amen. I just wanted to hug him. Because thank God, this man didn't just do his duty. He went above and beyond the call of duty. Thank God forever. But hey, let me tell you, when a man wins or is awarded a Congressional Medal of Honor, and whenever another soldier comes face to face, he could be a 4-star general. And if this man has got the Congressional Medal of Honor around his neck, that general comes to attention. He salutes that Medal of Honor. He ain't saluting. It don't matter if that boy's a private. It don't matter what he is. But thank God every time a soldier sees someone with a Medal of Honor, if he's a soldier now, or if he's a veteran, he will still, when he comes face to face with a Medal of Honor, thank God he'll stop and he'll salute. You say, what does that mean? He's being honored. And my friend, we tonight, we're soldiers in the army of God. And my friend, there's some old veterans, thank God, that are here tonight, and we've had the privilege to serve with them. Oh, and brother, they've been through the hard places. They've been through the battles. Hey, they've been through the toughs. And brother, they've been shot at. They've been thrown at. They've been having everything in the world done on them. But oh, thank God, they hung in there. And brother, they fought on through. And brother, they should be. Thank God we are to honor them for the glory of God Almighty. Just think back in your life. Some of the old Christian soldiers that you started out with. Some of those dear old saints way back yonder in the olden days. My goodness sakes alive. Every time they testified, Brother Charles, they just talk about how good God is. Amen. And I was sitting over on the other side going, oh Lord, I'm having the hardest time I've ever had in my life. And them old people, they've done been through it all. You see those old veterans, those old soldiers, brother, they'll let you know in a heartbeat. Thank God, they'll let you know that when they did what they did in those battles, they said, I've heard them say more than one time, you talk about fear, but I did not have time to fear. I did not have time to think. All I know to do was what I was supposed to do. And brother, they went out there. They did their duty, thank God. Amen. There was fear, yes. But when the battle was over, when that part of the battle was over, and they come back maybe to camp, and brother, things settled down. I've heard them say that I begin to shake in my boots. They said I throwed up because all of a sudden the fear gripped my heart. But oh, at the moment, all they could think of, thank God, is the enemy's there. The enemy wants to kill you. The enemy wants to kill your friends. And all you can do is say, I've got to get the enemy. And brother, we're soldiers tonight. Thank God. And the devil's fighting us every step of the way. He does not want you. He don't want me in the battle, but thank God when we joined, we enlisted. However long God keeps us, however long God lets us serve, the important thing is remembered, we're soldiers. Those ribbons, they really look good. But then you think about it and ask them where you get them. One will say, I got this one in Vietnam. I got this one in Korea. I got this one at the Battle of the Bulge. Got this one at Normandy. And brother, we've seen enough history things on this stuff to know. Brother, them fellas, when they got off of them barges, when they got off them landing craft, my friend, the enemy was a fire and everything they had on. But you know what? Thank God they still stormed them beaches. You say, how come? Because they wanted not only to be free, but they wanted America free. Thank God America's free, but it don't come free. Oh, these people that's given the all of a sacrifice, they paid the supreme sacrifice. Thank God tonight for us, so that these little old children can come down to Stony Fort Baptist Church. Woo! Glory to God, come down to Sony Fort Baptist Church and hear those songs. Amen. Be taught that Jesus loves them, that Jesus lives. Why? Because those soldiers that went on before, thank God they've already fought the battle and they fought to the end. And brother, it's the same way in the church. Thank God they have fought a good warfare down through the years. And they passed it on from generation to generation. Our precious soldiers. Iwo Jima, at the Battle of Iwo Jima, was supposed to take in 3 days. 3 days. And they put some Marines together and they figured it'd take 3 days to capture Iwo Jima, a little rock in the Pacific, 750 miles from Tokyo. And all they wanted of that place was to build an airstrip for B-29 bombers so that they could be close enough to strike Tokyo. And so they went on to Iwo Jima. That battle, I can't remember if it lasted 36 days. And that battle, day in and day out, I believe 6,800 Americans died for that piece of rock out in the Pacific. Over 9,000 were wounded. And we've got one of the most familiar memorials in this country, one of the most familiar monuments. It's of six precious soldiers, and they're raising an old American flag. Thank God, up yonder on top of that old hill. And brother, those six men, they have been immortalized, so to speak, because of what they did that day. And thank God they were soldiers. After there were many of them, their bodies was laying down upon that mountain. And many of them were so wounded they couldn't go any further. But thank God these six men, one of them had carried that battle flag. And he said, when you get her done, put her up. And thank God, let it be known this is American soil. Amen. Thank God, let me tell you, I am a child of God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, amen, us people of God, God said, raise her up. Amen. Let the world see who you are. Thank God, folks, let me tell you something. We, this evening, we're in a battle. We're in a battle, sure as the world. But Iwo Jima, there were six men. I can't remember all their names right now. Two of them died within 2 hours of raising that flag. One of them died just a few days later in a battle. Three men survived. One of them was a fellow by the name of Ira Hayes. A few weeks ago, I was listening to something and they played that song right at Memorial Day and it said, Drunken Ira Hayes. Johnny Cash. And I always said the train sounded better than he did. But he sung that song. And I remember seeing the movies about those when Roosevelt brought them back. Ira Hayes was a Pima Indian. And when he come back, was called a hero, Dennis. He couldn't accept it. He said, I can't be a hero. He said, the heroes are still laying over there. They gave their life. And so Ira Hayes, he died, I believe in 1953. I can't remember exactly. 32 years old, died in a water ditch. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. But when you think about Iwo Jima and you go to Washington, you'll look at that memorial. You'll look at that monument and you'll say, thank God for those Marines, those soldiers, those sailors, amen, that stormed the Iwo Jima and they fought the Japanese. And brother, they overcame the Japanese and they won the victory. And thank God today we're free. We're America, United States of America. I don't know how long we're going to be free. They're telling us now that we're not a Christian nation. It's the craziest bunch of people I've ever seen in my life. A few things I want to mention tonight. What does it take to be a good soldier? First, it takes showing up. Amen. You got to show up. Amen. Because the soldier knows that he's going to be at the command of somebody else. You got to report for duty. Each morning, child of God, when you wake up, God lets you sleep through the night. Me and you, we ought to come to attention and say, Private Reinhardt, reporting for duty, sir. Lord, what would you have me do? Paul said, Saul said in Acts 9:6. But you see, you got to show up. Thank God. It's not just starting's what counts, but it's finishing is what really counts. And brother, you've got to show up and you've got to report for duty. That means 365 days a year. This army, they told us, they said it don't rain in the army. It rains on the army. Little rain don't stop the army. Little snow don't stop the army. Little sleet, a little hot don't stop the army. They said the army's got to keep marching on. And I'm sure they told Steve and them, the Marines, the same kind of stuff. Dennis is in the Navy, and many of you are in the Air Force and places, and they told you there's no force like this force, but we've got to be there. We've got to be ready. My friend, when God saved you, He put you in the greatest army that's ever been. And my friend, it's a battle from the time you get saved until the time that you go home. Amen. Many of us, we look at it this way. I know that I'm in a battle. I knew when I got saved, they told me it's going to be a war. A lot of folks say, well, nobody didn't tell me it's going to be this fierce. They didn't tell me it's going to be this hard. They didn't tell me I was going to fight every day. But my friend, let me tell you something. As long as we're in this body, there is the war going on. We are getting ready to come out of a war. We're not winning a war. We're going to just quit it. But we're going to leave so many of our precious soldiers over to die. Them, whatever you call them, they're going to cut their heads off. And we're just going to go about our business. But I tell you what, when you come to the place you say, I want to quit, the enemy ain't going to quit. You see, this war was started before you ever got here. In fact, it started the book of Genesis. And this war has been going on all through the centuries. And my friend, it's because the devil hates our Savior. He's rebelled against our Savior. And he hates you because you belong to the Savior, sir of the world. But notice with me just a few things. Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. In Isaiah chapter 6, he showed up for duty. But he asked that old familiar question, how long? He said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant. In other words, he said, Isaiah, you're in this thing for the long haul, buddy. You're in this thing for the battle as long as it may last. Let me hurry on. You could ask a fellow by the name of Joshua. He was in a battle one time. It was the first battle that Israel faced in Exodus chapter 17. The Bible tells us that Amalek and the Amalekites, they came down and they attacked them. And they attacked the Israelites. Joshua and the army were down in the valley. Moses was up on the mountain. And old Moses was holding his hands up. When Moses' hands went up, old Joshua was pushing them back. And every little while, Moses' hands got tarred. And all of a sudden, there's old Hur and there's old Aaron. Thank God they put up a couple of rocks and they got beside him and they laid them arms up. Amen. And old Joshua, thank God, and the tide of the battle began to turn. And brother, you could ask Joshua, you could say, how goes it, soldier? He said, it's going good. I got a man up yonder on the mountain. Thank God he's a praying for me. Amen. He's got his hands up. And thank God we can't do nothing but win. Now you and I tonight, we've got one sitting over yonder in glory. Thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And thank God he's making intercession. He's my advocate. Thank God I don't go to battle alone. Amen. Now you say, how's it going? I say, I've got a man up yonder. Thank God he's a praying for me. Amen. He's holding me up every day of my life, thank God. Amen. How's it going, soldier? Amen. It's going good. I got a man up on the mountain. He's a praying. Old Paul, Acts 16, he's been beat, put in prison. Him and Silas, we all know the story. At the midnight hour, they begin to pray and praise and sing. Earthquake comes. Doors open. Paul looked at Silas and Paul said, hey, let's get out of here. He didn't say that, did he? No.
Amen.
You say, Paul, how's it going? Yeah. He said, I got them right where I want them.
Yeah. Amen.
Captive audience.
Amen.
That Philippian jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he run over there in front of that cell where Paul and Silas was at, fell on him old knees. And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I don't believe he whispered it. I believe, brother, he let it be heard. Thank God you're right when you're pointing me and you. Amen. But you say, Paul, how goes it, soldier? He said, I got them right where I want them. Thank God they can't do nothing but hear the message. And Paul gave them the message. He didn't look like me and you do and say, Lord, and I've been through enough. I got saved on the road to Damascus and I'd give up so very much for you. And Lord, it's got rough. I've been through all kind of stuff. My own countrymen hate me. Everybody don't like me. And Lord, I've been through enough. Please, please don't let me go to prison. That's not enough. One day he's on a ship going to Rome. Because before he got, when he got saved, the Lord told him that he was going to testify before Caesar. Paul's on the ship. Euclidean comes up. You know the story. They decide, let's kill these prisoners. Because if we don't, if we live, Caesar's going to kill us for letting them go. And old Paul walked out in the middle of that crowd. And he said, fear not. He said, the Lord whose I am, or the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve.
Amen.
He appeared to me this night and he said, and thank God old Paul began to preach to them, stay with the ship.
Yeah.
Don't nobody jump ship. It's the wrong time. Because if everybody stays with the ship, the only thing that's going to get tore up is the ship. But there's not going to be one life lost. And you say, Paul, how's it going now? Because when Paul's going to Rome, he ain't going over to the Vatican. The Vatican hadn't even been thought of. Old Pope, what's his name? He had never even been thought of as far as I know. And if he had been, Paul wouldn't have went to see him. No way. You say, why? He doesn't have the great mediator. Thank God he already had the Christ, amen, the Messiah, thank God, seated in heaven. But old Paul was on the way to Rome, facing trial, facing prison, and facing death. But thank God, he said, I got him right where I want him. And he said, nobody. I believe what God said. In fact, he said it this way, I believe God. Ask them old soldiers, how's it going? Because this war we're in, it's a individual war. There's times that we're brothers. I love Steve. We've had absolutely had a ball. We've had a lot of fun. We have fun when we go to church. We have fun when we're just... Is that right? We have fun. On the way to church, we have fun. But these battles that I fight, that I face, I can call Steve and say, Steve, pray for me. But Steve can't say, son, I'll take care of it. Him being my older brother and all. But he can't do it. These things, brother, Jeff, it. Your wife can't even fight for you. You've got to do it yourself. Brother Charles, you've been in this thing for several years. You've seen a lot of battles. But there's been some of them battles that nobody but Charles. Oh, it was the devil and his crowd attacking Charles. And brother, the only one that he had, thank God, was the one that said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Amen. This war we're in, not only is it an individual war, but my friend, it's a family war. Down through the years, Dennis and I have worked together in what we started out in what they call the labor crew. I prayed for Dennis a lot of years. I love him. He's one of the dearest friends I got in the world. I ain't saying that because he's here, but I'd say that if he wasn't even here. I can't tell you how close we've been through the years. But I remember one conversation we was having, Dennis, about the Lord, and you said, preacher, I remember being in the Mediterranean. You was a boiler man. You was boiler tender. And he said, I remember being in the Mediterranean. And he said, I remember getting in my rack of a night. And he said, the lights were out and people were snoring and it was sleep. But he said, I turned over in that old rack and he said, I hear my mama down yonder on Hope's Cloth Street. And my mama was praying, God, please take care of my boys. Lord, bring my boys back home. Thank God. You say, what was it? The family war. She knew the devil wanted to get Dennis in hell. But she said, no. Thank God I ain't going to give up. I'm going to fight if I stay up all night. Thank God I'm going to go all the way. I got to get my sons. Thank God I got to get them back home. And she prayed. Night after night. Dennis is thousands of miles away. Did you tell me that? Thank God. I said, Dennis, you'll never forget it. But one of these days, God's going to answer that prayer. It's a family war. Is that woman in the Bible, Rizpah, on the rock? You know the story. Her sons were killed by the Gibeonites. David turned them over to them. And the Bible said that she went upon that rock and her sons' bodies were hanging there. And she put a cloth upon that rock. And thank God she fought the animals off of a day. The buzzards off of a day. And she fought the wolves and the lions off in the night. And my friend, she was doing that over two dead boys. She was doing that over two boys. That was their flesh was rotting off their bones. But thank God she said, I'm going to stay here. My boys, even their bodies is worth that. Mama, let me tell you something. The greatest thing you'll ever do in your life, thank God if you have children, amen, is get them youngins to Jesus. Thank God let them know about Jesus. Because I'll guarantee you the devil wants them. And if a devil can get them, I'll guarantee you tonight, he'll have them not up, maybe in jail, in prison, on the street. No telling where. It's a family war. You don't have to be too smart to know that in America today. We're killing the next generation. So we're bringing them across the border illegally. We're killing them. I know a girl had an abortion a long time ago. Later she had one other child. Here's what she says. That's been 30 some years ago. She said, what's wrong? She's wringing them hands, licking them lips. She can remember. She can remember going into that abortion clinic way back yonder in, I guess it was probably in the late 70s, somewhere right through there. She can remember going in there with a baby inside of her. She come out of there. She didn't have no baby. That little baby was left in there. And I've heard her say more times than one, I wonder what it could have been. I wonder what it could have done. I wonder what it would have been like. You see, the devil, he's fighting the family. Hey, man, I still believe that a family is a husband and a wife and children. Thank God I still believe that if you're going to court, you court. If you're a boy, you court a girl. If you're a girl, you court a boy. Hey, man, you say you're old timey. Thank God you don't know the half of it. Hey, man, because I know that what's going on in America, it's not this free thinking. It's a devil, and he's fighting the country. He's fighting this nation. Why? Because this used to be the most godly nation that God has ever produced. We have spent more money on missionaries than any nation that's ever been. This country's come further than any nation before its time. We got a fellow that's supposed to be over the State Department. He come back to Vietnam and he called our soldiers baby killers. He said, there's criminals. Testified before Congress. You can pick it up. You can go back and look at some of the old tapes in the 70s. But here's what he said the other day. You say, preacher, are you a politician? I couldn't care less. Ain't none of them worth a plug nickel. I pray God will send us one that'll make a stand for the Lord. But here's what he said. He said, we did right turning those five major league killers loose. Somebody said, what are you going to do if they come back to the battlefield? Well, that ain't no problem. He said, we just kill them. We'll kill them. Where was he at in Vietnam?
Yeah.
When our soldiers were fighting. And he was in Vietnam, but he came back and he testified. Now, we got him doing the State Department. My God, folks. Amen. I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, or what you are. Amen. But the thing, what I'm getting at is this. There's a battle. And the war is against the family. And my friend, we, tonight, the Bryson family's fighting it. The Reinhardt family's fighting it. Thank God the Rogers family's fighting it. And brother, we're fighting, Nehemiah said, for your sons and your daughters. Brother, we're not playing games. You're in this thing. It's a real war. And brother, the devil's a shooting real bullets. He's sure firing live ammunition. And my friend, he wants to damage you. The devil wants to discourage you. He wants to defeat you. He wants to do everything he can to get you to come to the place you say, well, ain't nothing I can do about it no way. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't make the difference in one person's life, thank God you've been a good soldier. But it's a church war. Now here's one of those battles that you need to make sure you're on the right side. Make sure you're in the right battle. David came into the camp, and I don't have time to go into it, but he came into the camp. His daddy sent him down, you know, check, see how thy brethren fare in the battle. Wasn't no battle going on. They was playing hide and seek from Goliath and the Philistine. David come in, and Eliab, his brother, he said, I know what you're doing. You just want to come down here and see the battle. He said, I know you're just a little old punk, and all you want to do is go back and say, Daddy, guess what I saw? And when you go down a little bit further, David said, is there not a cause?
Yeah.
And old Goliath come out there, and son, he began to spew them ungodly things toward the Israelites and the God of the Israelites. And old David, buddy, he said, I'll go. And old David went out, thank God, into that battle that day. You see how to be a good soldier? Thank God you got to go out in the name of the Lord. Goliath laughed. They're making fun of us today. Why in the world would you take your perfectly good Wednesday in the first week of school out? And you could be doing a lot of things. You could go to the yard sales, the flea markets. And I said, why you want to go to a flea market? You buy you a good dog and he'll bring plenty with him. But I think these people, they're looking for all kinds of stuff. And they'll look at you and they say, why in the world you just want to go to church and let some feller from another county come and slobber and spit and sweat all over you? And said, why would you do that? Why would you go on Sunday morning and let old Jeff preach and come over and hear old Steve Reinhardt preach, old Brother Charles and preach, and they look at you and they say, why in the world would you want to go through that? And you would say, because thank God they're giving me what I need. They've given me the Word of God. But there's a church battle going on. My friend, I believe there's a war on Christianity today. We've got a fellow over in Iran. Our government will not even mention his name because he's a Christian. What kind of Christian? I don't know. I don't know if he's Coptic. I don't know if he's Wapnik. I don't know. But I do know one thing for a fact. He does not deserve to be in an Iranian prison. He was over there trying to win souls. And brother, let me tell you something. Because there's a war on the church. There are churches in our day, they just about shut down. If it wasn't for some entertainment, they wouldn't be none. Family come to the church a while back and they said, we'd like it here. But we're looking for more things, more stuff for our kids to do. I said, we take them on a little trip every now and then. They go down to Pizza Hut and eat pizza. And they go to McDonald's and get them a McDonald's burger. And I said, they hear me preach. And hear their Sunday school teachers teach. They said, well, they need a little more entertainment. I said, young people don't need entertainment today. iPods, your pods, iPads, your pads, face, what do you call them? Computers you carry around. And then you got the PC, and man, you got the cell phone. And I was watching a couple of teenagers a while back, and they're sitting at the same table. And they're texting each other. I said, my God, is that where we've come to? This one is talking away. I didn't look at her and smile, and she'd work. And she'd hit send, and I had to get a hold of that thing, and she'd read it, and she'd send it back. I said, why don't they just say, hey, sister?
Amen. Amen, brother.
Kids don't need entertainment.
That's right.
But here, thank God when you begin to think about it.
Yep.
When Steve and me, when we got saved, 1973, he got saved in September, I got saved in December. He probably, Nassau's called and preached a little before I did. I can't remember. I'm sure he did. And somebody said, you going to preach because Steve did? I said, no, I'm going to back him. what God was doing on my heart.
Yeah, amen.
And that Sunday morning when I announced that God had called me to preach, I hadn't told anybody but the pastor. That Sunday morning in Sunday school teacher got up and he said, these little old snotty-nosed boys, said they ain't even wet, dry behind ears. They think God's going to call them to preach. Said they don't ain't got a clue what's going on. Said the first thing they want to do is preach. And I looked around and I thought, I think he's talking to me. Service went through and you remember that morning?
Yeah, I remember.
And I got up, I was sitting about where Dennis said, and I got up and I was just shaking all over. Because the devil kept telling me, he said, you don't need to do this. You've already heard what it's like. I went ahead and done it. Steve, Pat, my wife, and about four other people came by. The rest of the church went out the door. I'll find no fault with them. I went out the door myself. But Brother Bill, they come by, and they shook my hand and said, we're going to be praying for you.
Amen.
What I'm getting at is this. When we got saved, we got at it.
Amen.
I was sitting at work one day, and somebody mentioned Charlie Lance a while ago. Here's my old Bible teacher back on number 14 paper machine, about 1974. And old Charlie Lance would teach me the Bible. He looked at me one day and he nicknamed me Buford. He said, Buford, you preaching anywhere? And I said, no. I said, ain't nobody called me. I said, I don't know why. I said, Ralph Sexton ain't called. I did. I said, I don't know what to do. They ain't nobody called. Let me come to their church. He said, you need to be preaching. I said, well, I want to, but ain't nobody called me. He said, have you ever thought about getting on a radio broadcast? I said, no. He said, have you ever thought about going to a nursing home and getting a ministry? I said, no. He said, have you ever thought about going to jail and preaching? I said, no. He said, have you ever thought about going to the prison camp and preaching? I said, no. I got up, went to the telephone, and got us a Catching Up Ministry, 6:30 on Sunday morning. The man said, I just happened to have 30 minutes, 6:30 each morning, each Sunday morning on 9:20 a.m. Steve would take a Sunday, I'd take a Sunday, J.C. Burgess would take a Sunday. And I'd go to that Hazelwood prison. I was the first Baptist, pastor of the First Baptist Church of the Hazelwood prison for about 4 years. And brother, let me tell you something. Sometimes there'd be 20 out to preach to. Sometimes there wouldn't be none. I'd raise the windows and preach to the cooks. But I remember, thank God, what I'm simply getting at is this. All we know to do is get at it, get down to business. Thank God, didn't know nothing what was ahead of us, but thank God, all we know to do is just go do what we felt like God wanted us to do. And I went up there, and brother, they had a prisoner up there, and his name was Roosevelt Robert Richardson. Brother Roosevelt Robert Richardson, well, he was a black guy. He was from South Carolina. And he was a cook. And old Roosevelt, I'd preach, and after church of Sunday morning, he'd come up there and bring me a chicken leg. He knew I was a preacher. Seriously. And I'd eat that chicken leg. And old Roosevelt, he got right with God. And he come to me one Sunday morning. He said, preacher, he said, God's called me to preach. He said, what should I do? I said, you sure it's God calling you to preach? He said, yeah. I said, preach. I said, just go ahead and preach. And finally, I left there to go to Fellowship Baptist Church. One Sunday morning up at Center Pigeon Baptist Church where we was members of, I talked to Brother Sailbone up in the day, and he said, Doc, you ought to be in here today. There's a big, long, white Cadillac come up the hill up our Center Pigeon. And it had a black guy driving, his wife, and her daughter. And they come up that road. Now, I preached over Roosevelt for about 3 years. They come up there, they pulled in that church parking lot, and they come in that church. And when the invitation was given, his wife and his daughter, they hit the altar. They got saved.
Amen.
And I was out there one Sunday before he got out of prison. He followed me plumb to the gate and he said, Reverend, he said, would you carry this money up to your church and give it to them for an offering for me? I said, come over here, man. I got over real close to the guard shack because the guard was watching us. And I said, now, you want me to take this and put it in our church, right? He said, yes, sir. He said, I want you to take that money and put it in your offering up at your church. I said, you want me to take this to the church, right? He said, yes, sir. I took that dollar, waved at that guard, put it in my pocket, went to church, and I threw it in the offering plate. I said, Zeb, I said, there's a prisoner from Hazelwood. They've sent this dollar. He got that dollar, said, can I buy it? And he gave $5 or $10 for that dollar, put it in his belt, fall, and shouted for about an hour. But that Sunday morning, they come to that church. I was already out of fellowship, and brother, when it was was all said and done, somebody said, how did you know to come from South Carolina? How did you know to come to Center Pigeon, Old Country Church up on the hill? He said there used to be a young preacher, said he came out to the prison and said he preached out there every Sunday. He said, I remember him coming. He told me he was from Center Pigeon Baptist Church. And he said, I said, honey, let's go. Thank God if that church cared enough for me and for prisoners to send a young preacher, let's go up there and meet them. And thank God, somebody said they didn't even mention your name. I said he didn't have to. Amen. My name wasn't important. Amen. He still couldn't tell you my name. But he knows Jesus. Let me hurry real quickly. Well, we're in a battle. There's a fight, and this fight is going to go. And the war will end one day for you and me. But until that day, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
I read the story about Napoleon and his bugler. The battle was going bad for him, and I forget where it was at. It wasn't Waterloo, it was some other battle. But he got whooped at Waterloo. See, how'd you know that? I remember that song from the 50s. But I remember reading that story, and Napoleon Bonaparte said to his bugler, he said, son, sound retreat. And that boy looked at him, he said, sir, I ain't never played retreat. He said, you never taught me to play retreat. He said, all I know how to blow is charge.
Amen.
He said, I'll blow charge in. And when he blew charge, according to that book, the tide turned in that battle. Because they remembered, thank God it's charge, it's not retreat. We're soldiers, we're in a battle. And God wants me to fight a good warfare. God wants me to be a good soldier. I don't have to be a captain. I don't have to be a general. Thank God all I got to be is a good soldier, thank God. Somebody will show up for duty. Amen. Somebody will show up, thank God, and fight for the glory of God Almighty. But then, I said a while ago, make sure you're in the right battle.
Amen.
Don't ever fight against your church.
Right. Amen.
Don't ever fight against your church. When Eliab said what he did to David, David didn't even answer him.
Right.
He didn't argue with him. He just went on and said, what did you say is going to happen to that fella to whoop this guy? And they told him again. You say, why did he say that? He remembered the battle he was in.
Right.
His brother, Eliab, though he disliked David, was not the enemy.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
We're a church.
Amen.
A church.
Amen.
Is a body, a part,
yes,
of the body.
Amen.
We're members.
Amen.
Thank God. We're parts,
amen,
of one another. There ain't no big shots in it. Ain't no little shots in it. Thank God we're just the church. And this is a church warfare. But we're in a fight. And the fight's going to last. You say, preacher, there's times I just get so discouraged. That's where the foe comes in. Paul said, or Peter said, that he goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But you see, when you think about the foe, he ain't going to quit. And the devil uses discouragement. Preachers get discouraged. I don't know how many times I've went home after Sunday night. And I said, I don't know if I'm going to go back over there or not. I'd like to go somewhere else. But then on Wednesday night,
amen,
I'm back on the road, amen, heading toward Black Mountain.
Yes, sir.
You say, why? Because that's all I know to do.
Amen, amen, brother. Bless him.
I've had too many soldiers who have come before me.
Yeah.
Yes, they was faithful to the end.
Amen.
And thank God that's all I know to do.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes the battle rages, and boy, it gets rough. The devil tries to throw discouragement, doubt, and everything else. Tries to get us to fight each other. But oh, my God Almighty. And I've always told churches this. I said, do not back your pastor. Be beside him. Some of you's in front of him, the rest of you's on both sides of him. Some boys told me one time, they said, if you'll, they were bigger guys, I was 3 or 4 years younger now. They said, if you'll hit old Ronnie, said, we won't let him hit you back. I said, you sure? He said, yeah. I walked up, and this boy's name was Ronnie. I walked up and I slapped him. You say, what did he do? He didn't much like it. And I said, if you don't like it, Will. And he said, who? And I looked back yonder, there was Leon and Lewis, and it was me and Ronnie in for it. And I learned me one of the most valuable lessons I've ever had. When somebody says they're going to back you, don't let them back you. Amen. Thank God you want them beside you.
Amen.
And you want them in front of you.
Amen.
These backers just ain't much. Because you'll wonder how far back they're going to be. But here's a few things. God gives us some things. He tells us that we can take on the whole armor of God. You say, preacher, I just can't fight much longer. Oh, my goodness sakes alive. Folks, let me tell you. We're on the winning side. There's victory in Jesus. We've been given a charge, and the charge is stand your post. Stand your ground. Military has three general orders. I can't remember, but there's three. Reduced from 7 to 3. I will take charge of my post. I will not desert my post. I will leave my post only when relieved by the sergeant of the guard. I will report all things that are wrong on my post. I will report them to the soldier in the next one that's on guard. It'll go all the way to the sergeant of the guard, and thank God he'll take care of it. And do you know what God says to me and you? I saved you. I've sealed you to the day of redemption. You've got life. You've got eternal life. And thank God I've set you in that war. And all I want you to do is just go out there, thank God, because when the storm's raging, he'll get between you and the storm. And lastly, let me just say this. One day, when the battle's all over, there'll be a reviewing. I was with Steve the other night. He was preaching over at somewhere, in Jackson County. And he preached on not grieving the Spirit. And he got talking about them soldiers marching. And everybody, you know how it is when you graduate from boot camp and they all companies march, you know, and when you first get there, you don't know how to stand and all that stuff. And time they get through kicking you and cussing you and knocking you around, you pretty well get it. And yet they march down through there, and they tell you, don't swing your arm, just walk naturally, but you take that step, left, your right, your left, your right, your left. And brother, one of these days, and when you come down to graduate from boot camp, and you looked up in them stands, I was them generals, the post commander, and all that crowd, and you went by and they said, eyes right, and everybody, either if you had that weapon, you put it, present arms. But thank God that crowd was standing there, and that general was looking at his troops. One of these days when the battle's over, and we're going to stack arms, and we're going home, and we're going to pass before the great reviewing stand. And thank God he's going to say, Army, you've done well. Thank God you've served me well. Amen. And the rewards will be passed out of the judgment seat of Christ. Thank God what a day that'll be. And we'll never have to fight again. We'll never see war again. And when we come back with Jesus, we'll never have to worry about the devil again. You say, why? Because he's going to the lake of fire in the end of it. But thank God I'm going to live on. Amen. I've only got an opportunity to be a soldier now. When I get to heaven, I can't be a soldier. Because we're on the winning side. Let's stand if you will.